Welcome to the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
To the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We talk golf with you every single Saturday, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. The segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. We'll talk to Jake Marsh. He's on the call for PGA Tour Live of the Zurich Classic. That is taking place down in New Orleans. He'll check in with us at 10:35. And if you missed anything from today's show as well, you can check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Take the show wherever you go. The Chicago Bears this week, Mike, had two picks in the top 10. They had the first pick, the ninth pick, and I think a lot of Bears fans very happy with how everything transpired this week in the NFL draft. And it got me thinking about the top 10 golfers in the world right now. So this is all according to the official world golf ranking system, which has been a hot topic of debate, yes, given everything that's taking place in the world of golf right now. But Scottie Scheffler, I don't think there's any debate about this. He is your number one player in the world, and that is, quite frankly, not up for debate right now. The guy is on fire. He has been, even with a major flaw in his game, he is still significantly better than everybody else. Number two, you've got Rory McIlroy. He's followed by Wyndham Clark. John Rahm is the lone LIV member that you'll find in here. Xander Schauffele at 5. Ludvig Åberg at 6. Victor Hovland at 7. Patrick Cantlay at 8. Max Homa 9. Brian Harman 10. So if I ask you, Mike, if you had two picks out of the top 10 in terms of if you were trying to win as much money, let's say you got a cut of their winnings for the rest of the year. All right, let's say we're giving you the 5% of their winnings for the rest of the year. Who are you rolling with?
Well, you got to go with the best player on the planet right now.
No doubt about that.
Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. And I'm going to tell you, I think he's climbing with a bullet is Ludvig Åberg. The sky's the limit for him. And he might be the guy that could be the next person to be a Scottie look-alike in terms of performance, the way he's going. But as you mentioned, Scottie Scheffler, without question, the best player on the planet. His FedEx points. He has over a 2,000-point lead. We are now embarking on the point where he could technically not play in one of the playoff rounds and still stay number one.
Wow.
That's the kind of bully beatdown he's putting on everybody right now. And the number one, he's every single category. And, you know, whether it's, you know, scores, a par threes, it's average birdies, it's total birdies, it's scoring average. In fact, he's now your number one putter on certain categories. But the one stat that absolutely blows me away, when he misses a fairway, his average miss is 18 feet from the fairway. Mm-hmm. 6 yards. That's his average. That's it.
Yeah.
So the man is not missing much at all. He is above and beyond the best player out there by far. And what he is doing and what Nelly Korda is doing,
yes,
folks, you got to pay attention. And I know they're saying, hey, you know, viewership is down. You've got something to watch here. It's just, unfortunately, they both took this week off. And as we can see on both leaderboards, it's not quite as appealing as it is when they're in the leaderboard in those events.
Just for people who maybe haven't kept up. So in each of their last five starts, so last five for Scottie, last five for Nelly Korda on the LPGA side, they have combined for not nine top tens, not nine top fives, not nine runner-ups, nine outright wins. And Nelly's got five, Scottie's got four, and his other result is a tie for second.
Yeah, it's a runner-up for crying out loud. Are you kidding me? And the scoring averages of those two, 67.6 and 68.6 for Nelly. I mean, it's, and their scores to par are ridiculous. Scotty, minus 76 or 76 under, and Nelly is 61 under. That is just making no mistakes, playing with a free mind, and I mean, just putting a beat down on everybody. And sadly, when Nelly tees it up next, she's going for the record, but she had to pull out of the Los Angeles event at Wilshire Country Club just due to exhaustion. She's gone straight weeks of just winning, and I think after a while at the Chevron, it just took its toll.
Yeah, like the mental toll that it takes on you. Obviously, there's a physical toll, but the mental toll, when you win five in a row, like you're playing clutch, crunch time golf, and to have that pressure on you for five events like that in pretty close sequencing too, like that to me kind of tells you, all right, yeah, you do need a little bit of a mental reset after that, because it's one thing to be, oh, like you finished 20th here, you finished 16th here. Sure, like you're still playing for different slotting for money and all that stuff, but it's not the same level of pressure of trying to lift a trophy at the end of the day, because if you're in 20th, you know you're probably not going to go out and win the whole thing, and even if you do, it's largely going to be out of your control because you're going to probably need some help from other players dropping back and shooting a little bit of higher scores. That, listen, if you're that high up on the leaderboard, you're probably not shooting that highest scores anyway. You'd have to really implode on those final Sundays. But the way that she's going and the way that Scotty's going right now, like, it is remarkable. And at the RBC last week with Scotty, like,
oh, he won by what, five or something?
It ended up being three. I think he dropped back a little bit on Monday because
he had the lead.
He did have a 5-stroke lead heading into Monday because of the weather delay after that. But I like your other pick there. Ludvig Åberg was exactly where my head was at as well. And he finished tied for 10th last week. Really, I don't think that really even tells the story that, like, he was right there in the thick of things, kind of threatening Scotty for a little bit and then just kind of fell off a little bit towards the end. But to me, that second guy for me right now is Ludvig Åberg. Just the way that he was unfazed at Augusta, follows it up with a top 10 at the RBC. He's played some really good golf so far this year, and I think that's only going to continue. And I wouldn't rule out him winning a major this year either.
No, and he is a perfect guy, I think, to win, in fact, in May at Valhalla. I could easily see Ludvig making that next step up in his blossoming career. I mean, he took the world by storm at the Ryder Cup, and he was a joy to watch at Augusta. And I think he's just, the maturation for him is on a, you know, a trend upward like not many that we see. It usually takes a lot longer for these, you know, these players to mature and get ready and be for that big stage. And he's embraced the big stage and wants more of it. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he's not in the top five, if he just wins it. You know, and then aside from that, you know, the other person that I would take a look at is, you know, Wyndham Clark. I
mean, yeah, you know, that was my next go-to as well.
He has been steady Eddie ever since he's been, you know, had that taste of, you know, winning a major, and now he feels like he belongs. And when players of his abilities feel like they belong now in that group, and they feel like they've gone through that mental barrier that, hey, I am a top 15 in the world, and I deserve to be here, and I belong here. Your game takes a different approach now from when you get to the golf course than it did before he won that first major. And I just think that he's starting to come into his own, and another exciting American to watch in the future.
No doubt about that. I think, too, like Wyndham Clark, you saw it on Full Swing how he went through everything with a mental coach to help him through, like a sports psychologist that helps him through a lot of these difficult moments in his life and how it may impact his game. And it's worked out for the better with him. He's had some strong showings, and he obviously goes out and wins the U.S. Open last year. And that was the first big feather in his cap. And that's something that you look at some of these other fringe players inside the top 10 right now. That's the one thing eluding a number of these guys. Rory has some of the championships, but he hasn't done it in quite some time now. We're over a decade. John Rahm, we don't see win anything anymore because he's moved over to LIV. Xander Schauffele, still looking for that first major. Ludwig, you give the pass to because, well, it's his first year on the tour.
But then what about the next guy?
That was going to be, I wanted to talk about this because the next guy is Victor Hovland. And he's kind of like the others where he doesn't have that feather in his cap because he is a younger golfer, but he's had some showings where he can be in the thick of things. He was fantastic at the BMW Championship last year. We've seen him lead majors after a round or two, but he hasn't been able to close quite yet. And Victor, to me, the way that this year has started out for him, now he did rebound. It looked like he was going to rebound a little bit at the Masters because he was in the thick of things there, but then Friday comes and he ends up missing a cut. Like, Victor, to me, has been extremely disappointing this year. I'll never waver on my love for Victor Hovland, but this year has been nothing short of a disappointment for him.
Well, and, you know, again, my heart wants to go right there to pick him because I love him to death. I love watching him play and love everything that he stands for. But, you know, unfortunately, the results are starting to speak for themselves, and he started out the year at, you know, fourth ranked in the world, but he's starting to fall as his game is not quite on par where it was. He was Mr. September, like nobody's business, in that Ryder Cup in August, for that matter, too.
Yeah.
Couldn't miss, literally. And now it's, you know, I think, again, here's a sign of, you know, a lot more commitments of his time. And is he practicing quite as much? And, you know, as we talk about Scotty, you know, to me, the only thing that'll be that could derail him or that might, you know, be new and he doesn't know how to deal with is once he has that first child, yeah, which isn't very far away.
Right.
So how does that change things? Does it? Is he able to maintain the sameness? You know, I'm sure Meredith will have everything set so he can return to what he was. But when you start putting, you know, family and growing it and all of that and trying to stay as world number one, it's hard. It's hard enough as it is, but it'll be interesting. So, you know, a guy like Victor, he's battling a lot of those outside influences in terms of, you know, commitments on his time and sponsors and all that. Hopefully he gets himself in gear because I think the PGA is going to be a very revealing event for him as well.
Yeah. The rest of the list, Patrick Cantlay, it's you just haven't seen it happen with him. And I don't know if we ever will with Patrick either. It just, it feels like it's been too long of a time coming. I feel very similar to Xander Schauffele as well. And coincidentally, they've been the pairing at the Zurich and are usually a very strong showing at the Zurich. They're the only two members of the top 10 that are paired together there. Max Homa, it feels like it is going to, he'll finally break through at one of these. I don't know if it'll be this year, but I think Max can win one of them. And then Brian Harman, he won the British last year, and now it's all about the staying power with him. And he had a very rough showing at the Masters, but we'll see where his kind of career goes from there.
And then you got, well, even if you take John Rahm out of the equation, because he's just going to continue to fall.
Right. Yeah.
So really, your number 11 and Tommy Fleetwood becomes your new number 10.
Correct. Yes.
And here's a guy, again, you talk about that first major. He is such a great ball striker. He's a guy that I would love to see him come into his own. And he's another guy that could factor at Valhalla as well.
Mm-hmm. And then the other guy, too, who actually has more total points but not as many average points as Tommy Fleetwood, is Sahith Theegala. And
exactly,
he finished second at the RBC last week. And he's one of those young, up-and-coming names. Maybe a little disappointed by his Masters showing just because of the ridiculous expectation that he set for himself the year before, but still a fine showing by Sahith Theegala, and he's another one of those guys that I would be looking for, and he would maybe, out of this entire group, would maybe fall number four for me.
Yeah, you know, and
he has a case for it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, he started the year 32nd in the world, and he's now, well, we're saying 12th, but he's really 11th if you pull John Rahm out of this thing. Mm-hmm. And so he's having a very, very good year. And another guy, just like you say, could factor easily at Valhalla. Now, whether these kind of players would win at the U.S. Open, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, I do want to bring up something that happened on the PGA Tour this week with the basically the loyalty checks were starting to be rolled out. We'll discuss that and Rory McIlroy's thoughts on if it's enough. Is the PGA Tour doing enough for these golfers for their loyalty to the tour instead of bouncing over to LIV? And also some LIV news as well with potential expansion to their tournament length on the way. We'll discuss all that when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. We'll be back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan talking golf with you here on ESPN 1000. So earlier this week, ahead of the Zurich Classic, Rory McIlroy had some interesting comments about this new, basically, loyalty program that the PGA Tour, remember, there was a big investment put into the PGA Tour by a number of owners of sports teams from across sports. Tom Ricketts of the Cubs was a part of that. Steve Cohen from the Mets, Arthur Blank from the Falcons. But it was an investment of up to $3 billion, that's billion with a billion. B, earlier this year from what's called the Strategic Sports Group, which is where all those owners are part of that group. And the payments are going to players for their loyalty, basically bonuses for their loyalty to the tour instead of jumping ship over to LIV. It was reported by the Telegraph on Wednesday that Tiger Woods, he's the leader in the clubhouse in terms of the earnings from this loyalty check. He is going to receive about $100 million from this this bonus pool, basically just for not leaving the tour.
Yeah.
And Rory McIlroy is going to be getting about $50 million. Now, you got to put everything into context here. Obviously, it's a lump sum for the year. And you think about those LIV checks. I mean, guys were being rumored $650, $750, $250, like significant money. But this is something that now, and there's certain stipulations on your tenure on the tour and all that stuff and that determine how much money you make. But this is something that I think you're going to start to see some jealousy. I think this could be a real fracturing point for the tour if this is not handled carefully and if there isn't a merger.
Yeah, this is really starting to tread on some very slippery slope here, because you're basically changing the overall way that golf has been compensated for the history of the game. You are now starting to basically cover these players in a way that they've never had to be concerned for in the way that they live their lives. And now they can play golf with a certain amount of comfort and confidence that everything's going to be okay financially, their families are going to be taken care of. But does that also take away a certain edge? Does that leave them as hungry and as disciplined and as focused to win when now human nature might start to take over just because they are human beings? And they may say the right things, but actions will ultimately speak louder than words. But also, how do you sit and fit in the criteria that has now been laid out? There are four different categories, and basically it's a bit of a judgment call as to which category you're in based on these career point system that the PGA group has put together as to determine which level you belong in and therefore the value of money that you'll get. If that rubs you the wrong way, that could be enough to now start to say, well, if I'm valued at only this and LIV just offered me triple, well, maybe I go take the money. Yeah. Because we've learned, I think Rory says it best, You know, we've learned that there's never enough.
Yeah.
And I think the slippery slope that we're really going down is the guys that are now 70th in the world, 50th in the world, are starting to think that they're worth $200 million now.
Yeah.
That's the fear. Because I think in a big, big way, that's going to create more of a problem. Egos will start getting in the way of things, and rash decisions will start to be made, and sometimes maybe made for the wrong reason. And maybe this is an ability for LIV to capitalize on it without the PGA Tour even knowing it.
Well, I think you bring up those guys who maybe ranked like 50th through 75th. Those are going to be the guys that, to me, they're going to get the money. And like you said, think I'm worth X million dollars, and it's probably a nine-figure number, and think to yourself, oh, I don't need to practice as much. Like, I'm good here. And I think you'll see some of those guys get phased out of the game quicker, and you'll see this rising tide of youth kind of flush itself into the PGA Tour, and then you'll just see that cycle start to repeat itself over and over again. So it's going to be fascinating to see how it all impacts professional golf moving forward. This was Rory McIlroy about if there's still hard feelings with his LIV sentiments.
I think I can be helpful. I don't think there's been much progress made in the last 8 months, and I was hopeful that there would be. And, you know, I think I could be helpful to the process, but only if people want me involved, I guess. So, you know, when Webb... you know, and I talked, and he talked about potentially, you know, coming off the board. I said, look, if it was something that other people wanted, I would gladly take that seat. And that was the conversation that we had. But yeah, I think that's the whole reason. I feel like I can be helpful. I feel like I care a lot, and I have some pretty good experience and good connections. Within the game and sort of around the wider sort of ecosystem and everything that's going on. So, you know, but at the end of the day, it's not quite up to me to just come back on the board. There's a process that has to be followed. And but I'm willing to do it if that's what people want, I guess.
And unification has been your big thing the last few months. If hypothetically you were back, is that something you would then even have a stronger stance on the board?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think it's the only way forward for the game of golf. We obviously realize the game is not unified right now for a reason, and you know, there's still, you know, some hard feelings and things that need to be addressed, but I think at this point, you know, for the good of the game, we all need to put those feelings aside and all move forward together.
I think he brings up an interesting point talking about the rejoining the PGA Tour policy board, because you think about what's best for Rory and what's best for the game. And I think they're different things. I think Rory being less involved is best for Rory and best for his game. But him being involved with the policy board and all of that to me is best for the game of golf, because like he laid out there, like, I think he is he is one of the best ambassadors the sport has, and one of the most recognizable. I mean, to be honest, probably the most recognizable name on the tour.
Oh, no doubt.
Assuming, like, if you filter out Tiger Woods, because he doesn't play events besides majors anymore.
But, you know, you bring up another good point, because remember, Rory's the guy who said, I hate LIV. I hate for what it stands for. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had such disdain for what was happening, and now... ironically, we're coming full circle, and he could be ultimately the glue that helps bring it all back together. Yeah. So if Rory can change and, I think, mature through this process and this evolution of where we've gone from since day one to where we are today, and he has the ability to now start to see things for what is best, I think we all can. And I think that's more the message that, look, I've been able to put some of this in the rearview mirror now, but it's time we start to bring this thing back front and center, because it would be good for Rory's career to finish out, especially winning whatever majors he can still finish, with the best being always at these, with no asterisks and no ill feelings. Hey, it was during the LIV era that these wins were made, so do they count, and all that good stuff. Only the greater good can happen if everyone comes together. And if Rory can be a part of it, I say get him in there the sooner the better, because we're waiting. Yep. I mean, and we're still waiting, and that's not good.
Yep. Real quick, Liv is tinkering with the idea of maybe expanding to 72 holes as opposed to their 54. Would they change the name of their organization? Because remember, Liv is the Roman numerals for 54, and that's why it's called Liv Golf. But would you like? Do you see it happening where they expand to 72?
I think they have to. I think they really do. I think the other interesting that came or information that came out this week is that the European Tour has basically said that as long as a John Rahm or a Tyrell Hatton do the right things, they can still play in the Ryder Cup. And to me, that's one of those olive branches being extended, mm-hmm. because I don't remember that language being front and center when this was all going down.
No,
that there was an ability for Sergio and the rest of them to have done this.
No, it was a hard no.
No. Right.
But Brooks got the olive branch, but that was it.
But in this case, all he has to do is before each live event, ask for permission to play in the live event, and granted, then as long as he's asking, they're going to give him the permission. And as long as he does that, he's eligible as long as he keeps his standing in good grace with the European Tour. So I think things are starting to soften. And I think Greg Norman being open to 72 holes, it sounds like John Rahm and Greg Norman had a pretty frank conversation. And I think John Rahm was able to talk some sense into the thing. And I think this is how the merger and the way this thing's going to come together is going to better fit, because if they're playing 72 holes, willing to go to 72 holes, now world ranking points can be better discussed. Mm-hmm. And now we can start to measure and look at players across the world in the same vein. I look at what's going on down at Australia, and they are busting at the seams. This event is off the charts, ridiculously popular down there. And it just goes to show you that some of these countries that have not seen professional golf want it, and they don't care what form, flavor it comes, but they're willing to embrace it. And I think this might be how LIV actually does help grow the game across the world by putting them at points of the world that have never seen it before and being able to put some of the world's greatest right in front of them like they're doing in Australia. That product may not be the right one in America, and that's okay. Because we do have the PGA Tour, right. But Australia doesn't.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, with 54 holes, I don't think that was the draw for players to go to LIV. I mean, obviously, the money was the big draw. But from a playing standpoint, the draw was playing less and making more to play less. And some of the other stipulations, like you can wear shorts, and it's just a different style of event. I don't think 54 holes... If they move to 72, I don't think there would be any sort of complaint coming from the players there.
No, but I don't think so whatsoever. In fact, I think if you shot them all up with truth venom, they'd all say we'd rather that,
yes.
Honestly.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up north Michigan Golf without the drive. When we come back, we'll check in with Jake Marsh from PGA Tour Live and Barstool Sports. He's on the call for the Zurich Classic. That's coming up next on the CDGA Golf Show.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tyler Rocky and Mike Gilligan with you on the CDGA Golf Show. Let's head on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline. Jersey Mike's a sub above, and we find our friend Jake Marsh from Barstool Sports. You hear him on Pardon My Take, and also on PGA Tour Live. He's on the call for the Zurich Classic, the lone team style event on the tour. Jake, good morning to you. And what have you seen from the event so far that's really caught your eye in the early going?
Yeah, good morning, guys. Thank you for having me on the show once again. It's been a lot of fun. Like you mentioned, Tyler, the only team event on the tour. They changed it from an individual event in 2017. But it's awesome because you have two different formats within this event. Thursday, Saturday, we're playing four ball, which we usually refer to as best ball. So both guys will play out their own balls, and whoever cards the lowest number is what they record. And then Friday, Sunday, it's alternate shot, also known as foursomes. So the strategies really change, and you'll see guys maybe go out of turn so that their partner has the green light to go for something. So it's been really fun.
Yeah, Jake, it's really cool to see, you know, some of the veterans such as your Rory and, you know, Shane, Lowry, kind of pairing Ryder Cup players doing well under this format to somewhat be expected. Now, while they play under more match play, this is a stroke play version. And so you have some notable names in there, but you've got a predominantly list of teams that we're not quite familiar with. And so out of those, which twosome do you feel we as TV viewers should embrace? Like, who would it mean most to get the win this weekend?
Yeah, and the thing with this tournament is there was only five strokes separating the leaders and the guys who just made the cut. The leaders were 13 under, and the guys who were just on the right side were 8 under. So anyone who made the cut really has a chance. But some guys I'm looking at, some rookies. Right now, tied for second at 14 under is Chandler Phillips and Jacob Bridgman. They both came up from the Corn Ferry Tour. And the defending champions from last year, Nick Hardy and Davis Riley, they birdied four of their last six holes on Sunday last year to win it. They were down three entering Sunday. They're only two back. So those are some names to keep an eye on as we get to the final stretch here.
Jake Marsh from the PGA Tour Live and Barstool Sports with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. So a couple of intriguing pairings out there. We brought up Rory and Shane Lowry, but another one that certainly catches people's eyes and traditionally have done well in this event, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. They are currently tied for 18th, have not gone off quite yet. But what have you seen about from some of these big hitter groups?
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because, as we mentioned, the alternate shot format, three of the four par threes are odd-numbered holes. So with the rules being you have to hit one tees off odd, one tees off even, whoever is a better iron player will probably take those odd holes. So we actually saw on Thursday, Xander Schauffele was, I got the call, he was about 6 inches away from a hole-in-one, which was really cool. So the strategy really plays into the whole selection.
And just as we're talking, it looks like Hardy and Riley just made another birdie. They are now tied for eighth. They've moved up the leaderboard 24 spots. The golf course must be playing fairly benign right now in the morning. Is the wind down and great scoring conditions? So are we going to just see a ton of birdies all day?
Well, you'll see a ton of birdies, but the wind is actually howling. I'm on a break right now, but this morning it was up to 20 miles an hour. But I just think with the format of the football, be more aggressive and allow one of your two partners to hit a birdie. So, for example, after the first round on Thursday, there was a tie on the leaderboard for 11 under. A bunch of groups shot a 61. So I think if we see that again today, the leaders will be in the low to mid-20s entering the final round tomorrow.
Jake Marsh with us here on the CDGA Golf Show. He's on the call for the Zurich Classic taking place down in New Orleans right now. So with it being a team event, you obviously go out and you pick your partner here. There are some very interesting pairings on this list right now. It's kind of you've got some brothers. You've got just some guys who are really close friends on the tour. But what to you, have you heard a very interesting story? What's been the most interesting story about how a pairing came together that you've heard?
Yeah, definitely. Right before I got on this break, I was on for Michael Kim, who basically tweeted out a short story playing with K.H. Lee. He said, it's basically like speed dating. You go up and ask someone, like, hey, you thinking of playing in this thing? And some people will try to swing for the fences and go for someone out of their league because they know they're a very good player, but some people may not be interested. So when you think of it like that, it makes it really cool. But Rory and Shane Lowry, they said right after the Ryder Cup, they were just having a meal with their wives, and they said, hey, why not play in this? So it's always cool to see those stories come together.
I'm going to switch gears on you. Obviously, the news came out this week about players getting paid, their loyalty, whatever you want to call them, grant payments, however you want to phrase it. What has been the undertone there when the news broke that players are going to start getting paid? And have you heard anything good, bad, or indifferent?
I haven't heard much news about that. I've really just been locked in on this tournament. But look, I mean, you have the signature events this year, and this is a great stretch for the tour. Obviously, we had the Masters a couple of weeks ago, and this great team event, and Byron Nelson, and then you go back-to-back with signature event at Wells Fargo, which I'll be back here for that tournament, which will be a lot of fun. And then you have the PGA tournament, or PGA Championship. So I think there's a lot of chances for these players to cash in big time over the next couple of weeks.
Jake, before we let you go here, so you'll be on ESPN Plus. Which holes are you on, or is there a group that you're following?
Yeah, so this week I'm on the featured hole stream. So it's the four par threes, 3, 9, 14, and 17. We saw one hole-in-one earlier this week on 14 from Eric Cole. Fingers crossed that we get another over the next couple of days. But once the afternoon hits, we'll be posted up on that 14th hole when the linear coverage goes live on CBS.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you taking some time with us. Enjoy the rest of the tournament, and we'll check you out on ESPN Plus on that featured hole stream. Thanks, Jake.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Have
Jake.
A good weekend.
You too.
That's Jake Marsh. He's on the call PGA Tour Live for the Zurich Classic taking place down in New Orleans. Just want to give a little leaderboard update there. You're not going to know a lot of the names that are currently tied for first. In fact, they just show you the last names, and I'm not going to lie, I don't know any of these six guys that are here. But then you get into the group. Sepp Straka's group is currently tied for fourth, stroke off of the lead. We brought up Davis Riley and Nick Hardy. They're having a fantastic day so far. They're 5 under, tied for ninth right now. They've made a huge shot up the leaderboard. But again, a lot of those top groups have not gone off yet. Like Rory McIlroy, Shane Lowry have not gone off yet. So there are still quite a few hurdles for them to jump through. But friend of the show, Nick Hardy, the defending champion at the Zurich Classic. So hopefully him and Davis Riley can do it once again here.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you got to remember, this is a President's Cup year now. So the team of, you know, Hardy and Riley, you know, is Jim Furyk, Captain Jim Furyk, taking a look at these guys and watch them climb this leaderboard. If they have a great weekend, I mean, you got to give them a chance, you know. And then likewise, Mike Ware, Captain Mike Ware, is going to start looking at his fellow Canadians in Taylor and Hadwin. They're currently tied for 22nd, but they haven't teed off yet. So they're 12 under par, and they've gone with 63, 69. So anything in the 60s, when you're playing foursome golf, which is alternate shot, is really, really good.
Yeah.
So these are a formidable pairing. I look for the Canadians to do quite well, and I think they want to make a statement with the President's Cup being in Montreal in September. They want to be on that team. I think there's a lot of pride for their country and obviously pride in themselves, and I think they want to impress their fellow Canadian captain and Mike Weir.
Yeah, 15 of the 40 groups right now are currently 12 under, so there's a big log jam there. Also worth noting, Doug Gim, local guy, is paired with Chan Kim. They are 3 under today, 13 under for the tournament, and tied for 8th right now in the tournament. They're tied, actually, with Nick Hardy and Davis Riley. However, this grouping only through 8 as opposed to the only through 7, I should say. Hardy and Riley are through 13. So lots of golf left to be played, but this is certainly one of the fun events and different events on the PGA Tour. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment has been brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We'll be back on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. If you missed anything, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app, CDGA Golf Show, or wherever you get your podcasts. This segment is brought to you by Tour Edge. Mike, what is going on around the CDGA?
Well, we still have open, if you're interested in a little competition, and we go indoors for this on May 11th at 9:30 at the X Golf in Schaumburg, we're going to do an indoor net championship, a one-day shootout out in Schaumburg. The top three teams will walk away with prizes courtesy of Geneva National Resort, which there is some great golf to be had if you decide to play. Just go to cdga.org, go to social competitions. You have to be 21 years old and have to be a CDGA member with a active index. And you can join us on May 11th out at the X Golf in Schaumburg. And for those who want to practice indoors, especially if the skies are going to be a little bit wet today, go on into X Golf, and CDGA members enjoy 10% off of any purchase that they make at an X Golf. If you're deciding to take your golf outdoors, Bloomingdale has $5 off 18 holes for all CDGA members. Over at Fox Bend, $80 with a cart Monday through Friday. That's a pretty good deal there. Tullymore has 54 holes of golf. Now get this. You get two breakfasts, two nights, cart, range balls for $349. Wow. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So head on up and see Matt Golden and the crew up there. They'll treat you right. And for those who want to look at getting something indoors, Big Moss, one of our corporate partners, is offering CDGA members off 15% with their CDGA coupon code. So a lot going on around the CDGA. A lot of good savings, a lot of good buys. So all you have to go to join is $40. Go to cdga.org.
As I like to say, pays for itself.
It really does.
And you get an index on top of that as well. But yeah, hopefully the skies will clear up. I know it's supposed to be windy out today, so maybe head on a swivel if you're out there on the course today.
And don't mess around with lightning, please. We'd like to have you listen to a few more shows with us. So, but otherwise, have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the golf, enjoy the good weather, and get ready to welcome the cicadas.
Yep. All right, that's going to do it for us here on the CDGA Golf Show. This segment has been brought to you by Tour Edge. Peggy and Dion are coming up next. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.